Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on in our podcast with part two of God's Covenant of Healing. If you haven't listened to the first part, we recommend you listen to it. It was really good. Now, I need to toot my own horn, but we know that there were some really good things in there and for both of us that we both shared about God's Covenant of Healing. So without further ado, we're going to continue on with that teaching. But before we do that, Karina, do you want to
say anything, baby? I always want to greet all our listeners. And, you know, you need to know that there is someone who is praying for you. Before you even get this podcast, there has been prayer for your heart so that the Holy Spirit will speak to you exactly what he needs that you need to hear to come closer to him and know his truth. There's only one truth, and that's the word of God.
Yes, amen. And you know what? We prayed before we did this broadcast, but I feel like we should do this on air. So we want to open up with prayer. We pray, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you fill our hearts and our mouths with your words, that the words that speak out of our mouth is coming from our heart, from the Spirit of God that's in us. As you said, Lord Jesus, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And Lord, we pray that you open up people's hearts and their ears to hear. Let them have ears to hear the word that you're speaking to them, the thing that was going to change and transform their life and renew their mind. Because, Lord, we know that we need faith, and we know that faith comes from hearing by the word of God, that comes from the Spirit of God. So, Lord, we just trust that you will speak to people, open their hearts to receive, and their lives will be changed and transformed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to start out with the teaching on faith in regard to the covenant. It's important to have the knowledge of the word, as I've often said over the years in my teaching, especially in the prison ministry that I used to do, is that faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If a person does not know the will of God, then they really cannot exercise real Bible faith. People say, well, it's up to God to decide what he wants to do, but that's not what he teaches in his word. He teaches people to know him through knowing his word, because he and his word is one, or one. And as you know the word, you know God, because he and his word are one. And so when you understand his principles, because he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he said this through the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, teaching them to observe all things, you know, making disciples, but teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And one of the things that he's commanded, and it's not just in the New Testament, this is a theme throughout the whole Bible, is the principle of faith and what it is meant by that. What is faith? You know, what does God mean by faith? Have faith in God, that God exists? Yes, absolutely, that's true. But we're not talking about that faith for the Christian believer, because the Christian believer already believes in God. They already believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins.
That is true.
And even though our primary audience here is Christian believers, who that's my primary calling, is to teach the Christian believer, but we also want to reach out to the lost. So, Lord, we want them to be able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and we want the people to understand that there's a broader audience here that we're trying to reach out to. So, you know, if you're one who says, well, you know, these broadcasts are kind of long, I wish they'd get straight to the point, you know, why is this going so long? It's because we're trying to reach out to a broader audience. We know that there's going to be people that's going to listen to this broadcast over the weeks and months and years that is out there if the Lord should tarry. And we don't want to leave anybody behind.
That's right.
We want to have a heart for the lost, so we ask you to have patience with this. If you're one who's hungry for the word and wants to get deep in the word and get quickly to it, to be patient, because we want to also cater to those who don't know the Lord. And not everyone's on the same spiritual level. Some people are going to listen to this broadcast that are not even born again, not saved, don't know the Lord at all. And they're going to get to know him through some of the things we share. We also want to make the invitation to them to receive Christ, to come into that relationship and to be born again. So we ask everybody to understand that. We want to go at the pace of the slowest person who's listening. Amen?
That's right. Amen. And you said a key word here, and I'd like to add something as well, because we know it's the heart of God to see his children reconcile with him, reconciled. And he does not want anyone to perish. When God made you, you're listening, he didn't have a plan He wasn't planning for you to perish. He wants you to have eternal life with him. So you said a key word. You said hungry. And there's a lot of people who are listening to this podcast who we know that they are hungry. And that hunger actually is being initiated by the Holy Spirit himself. But sometimes when we eat, when we're hungry, we eat things that don't necessarily nourish us. But that's not what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So he wants to nourish every single listener. So some things that we share today by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will nourish some people, and some other things will nourish another group. So as you were saying, let's all be patient and just take what the Holy Spirit has prepared for us and know that there's a portion also prepared for someone else.
Amen. Amen. And that's something I always reiterated in my classes when I've taught, you know, because there's people that are far further along developed in their faith and they're ready to get to the next level. Yeah. But there's people that are on a lower level. We need to bring them up to where they're at, where we're at. So without further ado, we're going to get to that scripture that I talked about in Mark chapter 9, starting out about faith. And we were using an example where Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he came upon his disciples. So we'll start in verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around him and the scribes disputing with him. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him, talking about Jesus, and he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, before I move on to the next verse, I want to key on something here that I see often is a habit of many people, including Christians.
What is that?
Is that they're begging God to move if he can do something. If you can do something, you know, basically have pity on us and help us. And so when it doesn't happen, well, then it must not have been the will of God, because, you know, he didn't have the pity on the people to want to help them. But see, notice what Jesus said in his response. He said, "If you can believe," Jesus said to him, "if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Wow. Notice he turned that around on the guy. It wasn't about whether he or God the Father was able and willing. It's about whether or not he was able to have faith. And so this is where I want to key in on today, is what can you believe? What can you believe God for? Do you have the knowledge of the word in your spirit of what the covenant says concerning healing? We talked about it in part one, that healing was provided to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that by his stripes we were healed. And this wasn't just talking about spiritual healing, but physical healing, emotional healing, any kind of healing, any kind of deliverance that somebody needs. This is something that's been given to us through a covenant, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to elevate our faith to that level of believing that, not just, well, you know, sounds good, you know, but, you know, it's not for me.
For someone else. Sounds good for someone else.
Exactly. You know, and it's oftentimes that people aren't able to exercise their faith in it because of various things. You know, well, I don't feel worthy, or my faith isn't strong enough. When those things may be true, but at the same time, who makes us worthy? Jesus does through his blood. And this is why we're told to put on the armor of God. And one of those pieces is the breastplate of righteousness. You know, as it says in the scripture, that he who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. And so that will help combat some of that condemnation and guilt. You'd like to add anything to that,
something
baby?
That catches my attention with this, the father's response when he says in verse 22, when he says, have mercy on us. And he, I don't know, I'm reading from my Spanish Bible, verse 22. How does it read in English again?
In the New King James, it says, and often it's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Okay, so it says compassion in Spanish here. It says mercy. But you know what I like about this? That the Father is including himself. You know, and I think that's, it's very sensitive, the fact that it was brought up, that it was written like that, because he didn't just say, have mercy on my son, compassion on my son, but he said, have compassion on us, because he is part of this. So it just caught my eye, and, you know, just, I think that's worthy of mentioning, because there are people around us that we can stand with them for miracles. Right? We can stand with them. The boy wasn't the one. The same as the other story we'll probably mention later about that mother who had that daughter. Also, the daughter wasn't there. And we see a couple of stories like that when the person who needs the miracle isn't present, but somebody else is standing also with them, believing. So I just wanted to bring that up, and because there may be somebody listening right now, and right now you're thinking of someone that you are saying, wow, I would love to believe for a miracle for this person, but that person isn't here with me. Can I do it? Can I be a part of this miracle? But if you have that compassion in your heart, and we're humble before the Lord and say, I want to be a part of this miracle, God is so good. And I just love that transparency, you know, that he actually said, have mercy on us. He included himself in this miracle.
It's so true and vital, because oftentimes what we see in some of these passages, it's usually a parent with a child.
Right.
You know, this case is a father mm-hmm. and a son, and the father is the one coming to Jesus, approaching him for the healing of his son. Mm-hmm. And we have that one woman who came mm-hmm. to Jesus from Sidon, right. You know, seeking healing for her daughter. And the daughter wasn't present.
No.
And she continued to seek the Lord until he healed her daughter.
That's right.
Jairus came seeking right. healing for yeah. his daughter. And then got messengers come to him on the way to say she's already passed on, it's too late.
Right.
And he looked at Jairus and said, mm-hmm. fear not, believe only, and your daughter will be made well. And he believed. And he went to his house, and he healed her and raised her from the dead.
That's such a beautiful
story.
So
that's another thing about the covenant of healing. In the covenant mm-hmm. of healing is part in due to the fact that we have a covenant with God with our family. We read that in Acts where it says that you and your household shall be saved. What you right. talked about to the jailer. You and your household shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a parent and you have a child, you have a right to stand in a gap for that child. Now, of course, as a child gets older, becomes adult, and is responsible mm-hmm. for themselves, then that's another matter.
We can still pray for them.
We can still pray and intercede, and God oftentimes we'll hear our prayers.
Absolutely.
But especially
yeah.
if the child is young and under your care.
Under your authority.
Exactly. That's actually the better word to use, the authority. They're under right. your authority. Then you can stand in a gap for their healing and their deliverance. And we know some people in our family members that are believing for just that very thing.
That's true. You know, I know right now that there are many people listening to this whose lives are going to change forever. And I'm so excited because as we're sharing this, and I know the Holy Spirit is the one who's imparting this word, and taking it to the hearts and interpreting and revealing it as he sees fit. Imagine the hope that this truth is going to bring to the parents of children that need a miracle from the Lord. And they probably, maybe, one, don't even think that God is willing. And you already clarified that God is willing. They probably don't think that God is powerful enough for whatever situation their child is going through. And we know that nothing is impossible for God. So imagine the hope. And they probably don't think that they can do anything. But once again, as you said, once we are in covenant with the Lord, this is not just for anyone or everyone. It's those people who are saying, I am under your authority, God. I am in covenant with you. So the benefits that you offer me as your child, I am going to actually kind of cash in, right? Cash in, yes. This. Is that a good term? Imagine how many, not only how much hope is this going to bring to parents right now as we're speaking, but also how much healing is happening and will continue to happen because there is power in the Word of God. And I know that as the parents are listening, and not just the parents, but even those that have authority over children and somebody else who you may pray for, how much healing we are going to hopefully hear about, but at least know that they are happening as this Word is going into the different places. You know what? All around the nations, all around the world. I believe it. God is going to take this word exactly to the person who needs to hear it. And it may be far from the USA, but not far from the heart of God.
Amen.
God is good. God is good.
Yes, we're definitely going to stand in agreement with that.
Amen.
You know, it's very inspiring because Amen. How many people out there that we don't know of need God's healing mm-hmm. touch right now. We know That's some people, right. but there's many countless people out there who have not heard this truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because God's unwilling. It's because they have to know the word and come into revelation of it. You know, because faith, like I said, faith can only begin where the will of God is known. And when there's that big question mark, is it God's will? Is he willing? And those question marks there cannot be faith. Because faith is about knowing the will of God and being able to exercise faith for that. And Jesus tells us this, because he says, if you know, when the man asked him and says, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us or mercy on us and help us. And Jesus doesn't even answer that, you know. He turns it around and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him or her who believes. Well, I'm going to pose this question to you just as if I was posing it to myself, because, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, we have to ask ourselves these same questions when we get into a crisis right. situation or
yes.
get under attack. What do we believe? Do we believe the word of God or do we believe our feelings? Because oftentimes the enemy comes to attack us through our emotions, through our mind, and bring all kinds of doubts and fears and condemnation and guilt and shame and all the things that try to get us off the word, off our faith. But yet, Jesus tells us all things are possible to him who believes. You have to believe. God wants you to believe not only that he's able, but that he is willing.
That's beautiful.
He is willing. And we know this because mm-hmm. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this. And I can quote this without having to turn there. So it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he yeah. says, without faith, it's impossible to believe. What? What is it impossible for a person to believe? That God is real? Certainly that's a foundation truth, but also that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So how in the world is God going to say, oh, I'm requiring you to diligently seek me and have faith, but I'm going to have the final say whether I decide whether I'm going to heal this person or not. No, he's not going to do that. Now, does that mean there's not maybe other conditions that need to be met? What Jesus did say, a person who is not willing to take up their cross, to deny themselves, surrendering their life to him, he says, it's not worthy of me. So I want to make a little rabbit trail or tangent here just for a moment. And we'll do some more depth in-depth teaching on this later about discipleship and taking up the cross. But if you are one who is willing to surrender your life to the Lord, to serve His will and His purposes, this is why He said in Matthew 6, and I reiterate that because I spoke about this in a previous podcast, is that He said that, you know, talking about people seeking after Him for food, clothing, and shelter, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because He was saying that those people, He said the Gentiles seek after these things, but don't be like them who think they're heard for their much speaking. Seek the kingdom. Seek My priorities. Seek what is important to Me. Why I put you here, as we said in our first podcast, about finding your purpose. Right. It's in Him, but it's also about finding the plan and purpose that He has for your life on this earth. In addition to your salvation, is what has He called you to do? If you'll be about His kingdom business, you're setting the foundation for Him to be able to operate in your life, because He works through covenant. And if you come in covenant with Him and you surrender your life to Him to follow His plan, then He's going to do the part of what He said He would do. And these things shall be added unto you. And one of those things is the healing covenant. It's healing is the children's bread. Jesus told that lady, that woman that came seeking healing for her daughter. Who was vexed of a demonic spirit. He said that healing was the children's bread, but because of her humility and seeking Him,
she persisted.
She persisted, and He healed her because of her faith and her humility. So how much more for those in the covenant?
That's true.
So if you haven't already, I would say, get these promises of God deep into your spirit. Don't just, oh yeah, I've heard those before. You need to meditate on them. You need to get them in your heart. They need to be on your lips. They need to be in front of your eyes. They need to be in your ears. You cannot listen to other people who say things that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, it isn't always God's will to heal. God doesn't always see fit. He knows things that we don't know. His ways are higher than our ways, and His ways are too mysterious to know. You know, that isn't what the Bible teaches us about God's will. He teaches us to know the will of God. It says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And to the degree that we know the Word is the degree that we know God. And that will also be to the degree we know the promises of God. You know, because we wouldn't say, well, God and His Word are one, but how about His promises? Are those promises reflective of who He is also? We talked about God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So if He says all the promises of God in Him are yes, and the amen by us to the glory of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that all the promises, didn't say some, all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen by us to the glory of God. So what does that mean? We have to say amen to it. We have to say, yes, I agree that the promises of God, all of them are yes, and come into the agreement with that. You know, people say, well, it isn't always God's will to heal. Well, then that didn't come into agreement with what He said. He said all the promises of God. And what did He say even in the Old Testament about healing? He said in Psalms 103, He said, to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. This was a covenant to the children of Israel under the Mosaic covenant. How much more for the children of God in the new covenant, which says in Hebrews that we have a better covenant built on better promises. Well, praise the Lord. If healing was for them in the old covenant, then healing is for us in the new covenant, even much more so. So we need to focus our attention on the Word of God and get all that doubt out of our minds, because doubt will cause you to sink. Peter walked on the water miraculously at the word of Jesus, but when he allowed himself to be distracted by the wind and the waves. And I will say, I've been there myself. No, not that I walked on water physically, but in a symbolic form of allowing the doubt, the fear, the unbelief to come in and to get me off my focus of the Word. You would like to add something to that, sweet?
Yes, you mentioned, well, in one of the stories, we see that this father, not only did he, I'm agreeing with everything that you shared. I just want to bring this up. This father, I appreciate the fact that he didn't give up. We see, and you brought up the word about perseverance with that mother that was looking for a miracle, seeking a miracle for her daughter. And the word perseverance here, I appreciate it so much that this father didn't just try once and then gave up. Because when the disciples could not heal his son, he came to Jesus. And I want to add that two things here quickly. One, no one can replace the power of God himself. And, you know, I have to mention this because sometimes, unfortunately, in different cultures, different beliefs that people may have, they think and they are actually taught, unfortunately, mistakenly, that they can find healing in some other source of power outside of God. But that's not true. That's not real. So I just want to bring that up because when they could not find the healing in the disciples, the father went directly to Jesus. And of course, Jesus, we're talking about God himself, the only source of power to heal, the only true source is God himself. And of course, we as believers now, the Lord uses us through the prayer and through standing in faith and believing with somebody who's believing for a miracle. But we are praying to the one and only true God, the one and only true God. I have to quickly just mention this. The other day, I was talking to this beautiful, beautiful lady. She's in her 50s. And she said to me that she prays every day. And she was very proud about the fact that she prays every day. But then she told me that she prays to a false god. She prays to Buddha. And when I was listening to her, she's a very beautiful woman, but seems very smart, you know. And she said that he was dead. And so then I asked her, I said, well, how do you think he listens? He can hear you if he's dead. And I could see there that she kind of like, thought about it for a moment, right? So the only true God is God, creator of heaven and earth. And I know it sounds that this is kind of a little bit silly maybe, but there may be somebody out there who has been taught erroneously that you can actually seek healing through other means or other powers aside from the only true God. But we want to tell you that that is not true. The only source of power, the only one who is almighty is God, the one who created you, the almighty creator of heaven and earth and creator of the human, of human beings. So that's really important for you to remember that you, if you are seeking healing, you need to know that Jesus, it is through Jesus that you can obtain healing. And then the second thing quickly is that we have to persevere. We have to persevere. God is so amazing, so powerful, so beautiful that he may choose to heal someone instantly. And he actually may decide for reasons to actually give the healing in different layers as a process. It may even be through a doctor. It may, God will guide the person as to how that healing is going to happen. But don't give up. That's my point. Don't give up. Persevere. Just as his father, it didn't work. Okay, let me now come. Let me do this right. And I'm not going to give up. The Lord had that conversation with that mother, and it seemed like there were harsh words there, but she didn't give up because she knew she was talking to the one and only who was able to heal her daughter. We have that example with, well, ex-blind Bartimaeus. He was yelling, calling out Jesus, calling out for him, and Jesus did not respond the first time, not because he didn't hear him. But he didn't respond the first time. But what did he do? He continued calling out to the Lord. And even though the people around him we're actually telling him to be quiet, to stop calling unto the Lord. Good thing he didn't listen to the people, and he actually persevered and exercised his faith, and he continued calling Jesus. And we know how the story ended. Jesus called him, and what happened? Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" Going back to what you were saying, he stated to this father, "If you can believe." And I'm so glad Bartimaeus didn't say, "Oh, I just wanted to meet you. I just wanted to say hi." He knew that he was standing in front of the only true God, the only one who can give him the sight. Nobody else could do that for him. So let's persevere. Let's persevere and be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do and how to pray.
Amen. That's so vital. Thank you for sharing that, because we know that perseverance is required through Scripture. Now, some people might say, well, you know, if it hasn't happened in 2 weeks or 2 months mm-hmm. or 2 years, then, well, that may be, you know, that's proof.
A sign.
That isn't God's will. Well, Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that, using Abraham as an example, how long did he have to believe God for his son to come along? 25 years, right? I'm not saying you got to believe for 25 years, but he's considered the father of faith.
Right.
And it says that we need to follow those examples through faith and patience in who inherit the promises. So it's going to take perseverance. It's going to take patience to wait on God. But at the same time, we don't wait passively. Well, you know, if it's God's will. No, we wait in faith, believing, expectation. And so your faith has to be demonstrated. You know, when people ask you, well, what are you believing for? Well, I don't know. I just hope maybe God might do. No, you need to say what you believe. What do you believe? Do you believe Hebrews 11:6? That without faith it's impossible to please God? Do you believe that he says without faith it's impossible to please him? That if you don't come to him diligently, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Because he says that in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that he is a rewarder if you will diligently seek him? Do you believe that? He says you have to, because without that, it's impossible to please him. Because that's the kind of faith that God is looking for.
That's right.
We're going to end this broadcast here on this note. And it may be that we might do a part three to this. I don't know just yet how the Lord will lead us. But we want to extend the invitation to those who don't know the Lord. You want to pick up that?
That is so important, because as we're talking about healing, there is a greater gift that the Lord offers. You know, it's important for you to know, those that do not know Jesus, you need to know this, that you may think you're a very good person, and I'm sure you are a good citizen, law-abiding citizen, hopefully. But the truth is that the Word says that you and I, everyone is born separated, and we just can't meet. I'm going to say it in plain terms. We cannot be on our own holy enough to meet God's standards. That's really what it comes down to. And we are born with sin, because we all came from Adam and Eve, you know that. And so Jesus is so amazing that instead of just saying, forget you, you know, that's your problem, he actually said, I'm going to take your place. The punishment that you deserve, I'm going to take it upon myself so that you may live. And he came to the cross, he died, he shed his blood so that whoever believes in what he did, that wonderful gift of salvation, will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal death. Because one day, I know you know your birth date, when you were born, but you know what? You don't know when is your last day. But there is going to be a last day, and everybody is going to spend eternity somewhere. You don't just disappear or become one with the universe. You actually are going to spend eternity somewhere.
So true.
And that's with God or separated from God, in his light or in eternal darkness, in torment. So this is the invitation. Right now where you are, it's so easy, so easy. You just have to believe, one, that you are a sinner, 2, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that there's only salvation in him. And 3, ask him to forgive you. Tell him you want to give him your life and you want to accept his love and his forgiveness. That's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
And
Amen.
You will be saved.
Yes, and we thank you all for listening. And those of you who was wanting to hear more deeper stuff on the teaching of healing and faith, be patient with us.
That's right.
Because we want to bring everyone along. We want everyone to get on the ark.
That's right.
And make it to heaven. So we're going to end this broadcast, and we thank you for listening. God bless you, and see you next time.
See you next time.